We are continuing our NBA previews today and taking a look at the Phoenix Suns. Ben Garcia is joining us as he is a host of Locked On Suns, along with many other things. Ben, how are we doing today?
Dude, I'm so good, man. Ready for a Suns season that is, I think, going to be better than most people think.
Yeah, well, that would be kind of the opposite, right, last year at least. I mean, and before we get into this year, let's, review last year and kind of where the Suns went wrong. I guess it all kinds of start kind of starts with the injury bug, huh? Ben, you still with me?
I think you cut out there for a second. If you want to go back like 10 seconds, I'll catch it.
Yeah, let me restart here, all right? Ben, I guess, when it comes to, the preview of this year, I always like to go back and review the previous year and kind of, get a little starting point of where we came from. Tell me and the listeners a little bit about last year and kind of, the season as a whole. Certainly a disappointment, I guess. Where did that stem from?
Well, yeah, I think it started from the fact that there was unfair expectations on this team last year. I think people were way too high on a team that I didn't fall for. I was someone that had mentioned last year, I think that they're a Western Conference Finals contender if things break their way with Mike Budenholzer running a different scheme than Frank Vogel was running. And with the addition of Tyus Jones at the point guard position coming off the bench now, I didn't expect him to – I didn't know – I guess I didn't think it was a good idea for him to start. He ended up starting. They were too small. Defensively, they were pushed around, and they were thin, meaning they could play like six guys. And then outside of that, it was a lot of Mason Plumlee and, second-round pick last year, Oso Udoka. So, there were some injuries, but it was more of just the Suns didn't have an identity. Instead, their identity they thought could be – talent, and we're just going to outscore you. And that's not an identity. Suns have a new identity this year in the defensive side of the ball, something they can hang their hat on, which I think is just different from last year. So the Suns, it was just a basic disaster where leadership played a role, I believe, and schematics played a role. Some injuries played a role, but it was just a lot of square pegs trying to fit in round holes.
Yeah, no doubt. And obviously things change from then and a lot of maneuvers are made. Certainly the big one, Kevin Durant being sent to, the Houston Rockets in a trade and acquiring, Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks. Let's go ahead and start right there and kind of what you thought about the trade, certainly the players and the picks. But, what were your takeaways from it? How did you feel about how they maximized the trade of Durant?
Yeah, initially I was very disappointed in the deal because I fell for the – well, this is what the Suns have right now. Like, Jalen Green, and, I'm happy I'm saying this to not a bunch of Suns fans, likely. There's some big concerns. There's some major concerns with Jalen Green. He has not shown the ability to be a consistent enough scorer in the NBA to be listed as a real, true, bona fide, put-the-ball-in-the-bucket scorer. Now, the qualification is that he's never had to play next to a true number one like Devin Booker. If he can have Devin Booker alleviate some of the scoring pains for him, then those things will get fixed as well. But I think also you have to remember, Dylan Brooks, you hate him when you're playing against him, you love him when he's on your team, and he brings an attitude to this team that they just didn't have last year. No one is going to walk up to Devin Booker and put their hands on him in a basketball sense because no one actually really fights. And without Dylan Brooks coming up and shoving someone and getting thrown out of the game, like, the Suns needed the proverbial bouncer at the nightclub, as well as someone who has a day one commitment to this team's identity on the defensive side of the floor. So, love the Dylan Brooks addition to it. You have to remember that Kaman Malawach was also a part of that trade because he was the 10th overall pick. I think Kaman Malawach is going to be awesome. But before all this happened, I didn't know that Kaman Malawach was going to fall to them. I didn't know that they were going to use the 5 second-round picks to maneuver around the draft to get Rashear Fleming, too. So, for all of those reasons, they still didn't get enough because they're a top-10 basketball player of all time, and the team that gets the best player generally wins the trade. But for what the Suns were handed, I thought they actually did a pretty good job putting the roster together.
Along with the rest of that, along with, other moves that were made in the offseason, Jared Butler comes in, Jordan Goodwin, sneaky pickup there off waivers with the Lakers. Nigel Hayes-Davis, Mark Williams acquired in a trade as well. What were your overall takeaways? Of course, Bradley Beal being jettisoned via buyout and signing with the Clippers. What were your overall takeaways from what the Suns did from that point on?
Yeah, I didn't love the buyout and stretch from the Bradley Beal side of things. I understood it if the Suns did that, that they had a corresponding move ready, whatever that might have been, even if it was small, and they never did. They literally just got rid of him and said, yeah, we'll just see you later and eat the money. I don't love that. I think it's bad management, but we'll see how it plays out. Maybe the Suns do have an ace up their sleeve. Maybe a Lauri Markkanen becomes available and the Suns need the cap space to do so. Like, I don't know. Everything else, like Mark Williams, TBD, they gave up nothing for him. You know, last year the Lakers gave up Dalton Kincaid, which was their first-round pick, and an unprotected first-round pick for Mark Williams. And that was seen as a pretty high price to pay, and then they quickly, reversed that trade. And the Suns gave up two basically second-round picks for Mark Williams, and it was seen as an overpay. Like, I never got that. I think Mark Williams is a supremely talented center and a top-third center in the league, if he's healthy. And I thought that was worth the gamble because he's 23 years old. You're not going to get a player likely at the 30th overall pick that is better and still in the same age range of your contention this season. And so I like that deal. Jordan Goodwin, I just think fits the identity. Jared Butler, I don't know how much is going to play for this team. And then Nigel Hayes coming from someone overseas who played really well. We'll see. I don't think he plays over Royce O'Neal. I don't think he plays over Rashear Fleming. I think this is a nine-man deep on a daily, on a day-in, day-out roster. But that's where I land on that. I think the Suns are going to be very frisky and fun, and a lot of people are going to say, wait a second, 2 months from now, that's a sneaky play-in team, and they'll be absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ben Garcia, again, Locked On Suns. Also in the offseason, a two-year, $145 million extension for Devin Booker. So they commit to him there, and he commits to them for the next couple of years anyway. What do you think and what do you want to see from Devin Booker this year after, the star, the three bigs, the three guys, the three-star thing kind of failed? Now he's back on his own and surrounded by, role players, so to speak.
Yeah, Booker is not the type of player that you can build your entire team around and be a bona fide superstar and take you to the championship. But that doesn't really matter so much because the Suns are trying to win a championship this year. Like, he's not Giannis. He's not Luka. He's not, I think, still LeBron in spurts. Steph Curry. Not even KD. But I do think he's the best number two in the NBA. And so that puts him right outside the superstar. I think he's the fringe superstar level. I just want Booker to go back to being the proverbial one during the flu, where it's not officiated the same, and carry this team to a play-in spot. Like, he's getting paid a lot of money. I don't look as much of the money as other people do, because people will say $75 million a year, he's overpaid. No, it's a percentage of cap. He makes 30% of the cap right now. Now he makes 31% of the cap. But, put it on Twitter, it'll get likes and retweets. I think that's kind of the outside of it. Like, this should the Suns have paid Devin Booker? I don't know. But what were they going to do if they didn't? Were they going to ship him off and get a bunch of late first-round picks for him because that's what those picks would have been? So, the Suns did the right thing. And I just want to see Devin Booker come out here and carry this team to a play-in spot. I don't think it's too much to ask.
One other thing with the Phoenix Suns in the offseason, they get another new head coach, Jordan Ott. Your thoughts on this hire and the, obviously they've been changing every single year. So this one seems, with the lower expectations, might be there a little longer than 1 year.
Yeah, Jordan Ott's going to be here longer. They can't afford to fire another head coach. To be fair, I liked the addition of Mike Budenholzer last year, and that blew up in my face. I didn't like Frank Vogel, that addition. But here's what I'll say. I wanted the Suns to hire Kenny Atkinson three seasons ago. And now he's the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they have one of the best offenses in the league, and they were the one seed last year. They got his protege, Jordan Ott. So I approve the hire, but we'll see. Like, I approve of it. We'll see if that stands to fruition with some of the things that he wants to do. He's a whiteboard junkie. He obviously has a style of game that he wants to play, which is going to be firm on the defensive side of the ball and play with two bigs offensively. But, you know, Jordan, not as a whole, man. I like the hire, but, like, I like Mike Budenholzer. Let's wait and see what it looks like 25 games in. But I think the Suns are doing the mature thing.
Ben, when it comes down to it, what constitutes a successful season for the Suns this year?
Building a foundation. Wins and losses don't matter. Build a foundation. Now, building a foundation is going to come with wins and losses, I think, on its own as well. Like, if the team's playing well, they're going to, you know, win games. But what do you have in Kamal Mollis? What do you have in Rashear Fleming? Like, what do you have in those players? Building the foundation matters than just accumulating stars. So can this team build a consistent enough foundation on the defensive side of the ball, figure out what they are this year, hopefully one of your rookies and second-year players pops, and then we'll see where we're at and assess where we're at the end of the season. If you want me to put a successful mark on it, make the play. Like, be the 10th seed. I don't think it's too much to ask.
Ben Garcia, again, Locked On Suns, NBA preview on the Phoenix Suns. Ben, thanks a lot for the time. Really appreciate it. And enjoy the season, all right?
Yeah, appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.